Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen.
Amen.
Please have a seat.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Megan. I am a seminarian, and I am starting my second year here with the good people of St. Andrews. Thank you very much for having me again. This morning, our scripture is nearing the first part of the end of Matthew's gospel with Jesus' ministry in Galilee. So basically, this is the climax of season one. And Peter's big confession is therefore kind of the big reveal. Right before our passage today, the religious leaders of his day have been asking and testing Jesus, asking for a sign from heaven. And Jesus denies them. He leaves them wanting. Jesus does not act with our expectations of what God's Messiah is like or a divine prophet. He has instead been acting as an upstart, bit of a subversive leader who is beginning to have a following that is dangerous. Let's think about a couple of weeks ago. Jesus fed the 5,000. That is a very specific number. That is a Roman legion. Jesus raised an army, and he could feed them with miraculous bread. But instead of marching to liberate God's chosen people like David, or breaking idols like Elijah, Jesus raises an army to teach peace, to heal, to send them out in peace into the world. So when Jesus asks his inner circle directly, "What are people saying about me? And who do you think I am?" It's within a context of things are starting to get kind of serious. And Peter is the one who speaks up for the disciples and declares that his faith is Jesus is the Messiah. He is the promised deliverer, ordained and commissioned by God to save God's people. No matter if he is doing this outside of everybody's expectations and hopes. Not only that, but Jesus is the Son of the living God. Instead of the death-dealing powers of empire or tribe, Jesus is the giver of life, and not just for a select certain people, but for everyone. The Gospel of Matthew is the one that connects Peter's confession, a fisherman, to the reality of the church that we live into today. So today's story has a special significance to who the church, who we are supposed to be. In this witness and into the connection of the church's purpose, there are three things that I want us to think about. Things that we're supposed to really be about as a church on this day, in this context of Greencastle, Indiana. So first, Peter confesses, and it's his own words, and he's inspired by God. We hear Jesus proclaim that Peter's witness is from God. "For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." Peter's faith is bolstered from outside of himself. Peter is not only using his human intellect, not figuring this out on his own by watching miracles, but it's also come to him somehow by the grace of God. There is a great comfort to me in knowing that God is always reaching out to us, helping us to see what our eyes cannot fathom, what our hearts cannot process, what our ears cannot hear. When we need God, the Spirit can and will fall fresh into our lives and reveal the truth of the world and God. If you are ever worried that you do not have enough faith, let's just think about Peter, the guy the entire church is built upon, who also had to be lifted up by God. But there's also a little bit of danger if we put this thinking into application, because it means that we don't have to put the work in. If God is being revealed to us and is always going to show up, why do we have to come to church anyway? I could sleep in on Sundays, right? And feel assured that God is going to do the heavy lifting. Not so much, not so much, because the second thing that today's gospel shows us is that the church, the world, is set in a context of conflict. It would be really easy to get wrapped up and derailed by the gates of Hades here, and I did, and then I cut that part of the sermon out. But I want us to note, the scripture tells us where they are. The location is important. They are in Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea, like the Emperor Caesar. This location is a Roman settlement that was built near a temple built by Herod the Great, dedicated to Rome and the Emperor Augustus. Augustus, who was the first emperor and who also added to his name Divus Filius, son of the divine. There is a direct contrast here that is not subtle. Not subtle, guys. This is a revelation of who Jesus is, who we are called to witness in opposition to earthly powers. So let's get connected to the third thing that Jesus is saying here today. And that is, what we're doing in this life really matters. The gospel that we just all read together says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The Message, a translation of the Bible, interprets this as a yes on earth is a yes in heaven, and a no on earth is a no in heaven. Jesus is not speaking of a kind of sympathetic magic where I do a ritual and I twiddle something down here and a butterfly flaps its wings in heaven. It's not sort of a thing that we try to manipulate, but what we do with our lives actually has spiritual weight and consequence. We need to live not as if we're saving ourselves for something else, something better, because this is the life that we have been given. And what we're doing matters. Even as we know the saving truth, as we confess that Jesus is the Christ. Because even when we do know saving grace, we are called to respond to that grace with our own actions of faith and hope and love. Our reading from Romans this morning about living into this way of Jesus really synthesizes and integrates this for me. Paul is calling us to be living sacrifices, a living gift to God from our daily lives, from struggling to wake up, from missing homework assignments, from missing your kid who just went to college, from making meals, from just getting through a Sunday. All of it is a living gift to God. We are engaged in this world, interacting with what's around us, while still understanding that our lives are tied up in an intimate relationship with God. What is bound together here on earth is bound together in heaven. And this is transformative. This is amazing. This is a radical way that we are asked to live both our earthly and our spiritual lives in going, and it's going to ask us to change and to grow continually, because we are gifted and we will be assured of God's working through our very different gifts and our very different lives to bring about a blessed witness. Because our faith is not something that we passively receive in private. It is something that we practice, test. We give to one another and keep growing into, like Peter's confession. God reveals things that we cannot discover entirely on our own because we also need one another to grow. We need Peter, who walked on water, but who also sank, to stand up and confess his truth. And we need to be Peter for someone else, to contribute to the church's witness. And maybe that's what part of it, what it means to be a church, that we don't just decide once what we believe, and then we put our faith on a shelf. We don't take a monument and we just visit it once a month, once a week, once a month. But we keep asking the questions. We keep learning. We keep wrestling. We keep discovering what God is doing with us. And we keep confessing that. I have been putting a lot of time this month into building our confirmation class. So yes, there is a bit of a plug here. But this all has a very particular resonance with me right now. If you've never been confirmed, or if you've been wondering what it means to claim your faith as your own, I'd love for you to join me for 5 weeks as we walk through September and October. And I mean that if you're 16 or 60 or 106, if you are certain about your faith or you are full of questions and your heart is lighting up with permission to get curious, or if you're really mad at me right now for completely and totally not touching on Shifra and Pua, and you want to ask me about it. Because confirmation isn't a test that you have to pass or a stamp of conformity. It's an opportunity for us to ask what we believe, why we believe it, and what kind of people God is calling us to become next. If this is the kind of commitment that isn't part of your life, you don't have the time for this, then my call to action to you today is for us to think about what our confession of faith means. Because Peter's confession today isn't the end of his story. He continues on a much longer journey of figuring out what that confession is going to bring into being, and it will cost him dearly. Because our statements of faith aren't about having everything figured out. They're about being willing to follow Jesus long enough to discover what our confession means. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please stand as you are able. The Nicene Creed is found at the green ribbon on page 358.